The state weighs in about fish at the proposed West Creek Hydro site. And Haines School will see some changes in staff structure. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. We've had a couple news stories on Alaska Power and Telephone's proposed hydro project at West Creek near Skagway, and now there's another development. Alaska Department of Fish and Game says it does not agree with AP&T's characterization of fish resources near the West Creek site. AP&T, in its application for a preliminary permit for the project, writes that West Creek at the site of the proposed hydro dam is glacially fed with no known fish populations or other economically significant value. Fish and Game says that's not true. Monty Miller is the hydropower coordinator with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says he is merely pointing out that there are studies not cited by AP&T in regards to fish documented in the West Creek area. But he's not stating a position on the project itself, he says.
My response to the West Creek filing in no way establishes a position for our department on the project. It's simply that I, in looking at what they filed for their preliminary permit, they made a statement that there was no known fish populations in West Creek. Well, the project would affect West Creek and the Lower Tioga River by taking water from West Creek and putting it back in near tidewater. So there are fish resources. This is listed under the AWC, has been for several years.
In his filing with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, Miller writes that there are several studies and publications that list fish resources in the project area. West Creek, the Tioga River, and the West Branch of the Tioga River are listed in Fish and Game's Anadromous Waters catalog as having passage, rearing, and spawning areas for several kinds of fish, including coho, chum, chinook, and pink salmon, Dolly Varden, and hooligan. Miller also writes that Fish and Game filed for reservations of water to protect fish resources in the West Creek and Tioga River in 2010. Those applications are still under consideration with the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. Finally, Miller writes both West Creek and the Tioga River would seem to be affected by a hydro project, since West Creek's flow would be reduced, in turn reducing flow in the West Branch of the Tioga River. There's another study by the National Park Service that is still under revision. As part of that study, Glenn Martin with AP&T points out biologists did not find coho in West Creek trapping locations. Miller notes that study is still in draft form, and so he did not reference it.
That is a draft. That's why I did not submit it. I just made them aware of it, that that was out there. And it has been revised from the draft that I had. So it made a correction on the coho, where they found coho. So, you know, Glenn is correct that they're not up by the dam site, as the first initial report indicated. So that's a correction, and that's fine. That's why I didn't cite it, because it's a draft, and drafts are always subject to change.
In the preliminary permit application, AP&T proposes a hydro project that would primarily supply power to cruise ships at dock in Skagway. A secondary purpose would be to supply power to the local community and possibly to export power to Yukon for mineral development needs. While details could change, the application outlines a hydro project that consists of a concrete gravity dam about 170 feet high and 1,500 feet long. The dam would create a 895-acre reservoir. A submarine cable would transmit the power about 4 miles from the powerhouse to a landing at Long Bay, about 3 miles northwest of Skagway. It would have a capacity of 25 megawatts, enough to power up to 3 cruise ships, according to the application. The project is just in the preliminary permit application phase, meaning if approved, the power company would have permission to gather data and study the feasibility of the project. The company would have to work with resource agencies like Fish and Game to develop studies. The preliminary permit application is currently in a public comment period, which is why Miller submitted his comments now, he said. Other agencies and members of the public can comment by visiting the West Creek Hydropower Project docket on the Federal Agency Regulatory Commission website. The Haines School Board approved a shift in how school administration is organized during a noon board meeting Monday. The district was already poised for transition with the closing of Mosquito Lake School, the retirement of Superintendent Michael Beyer, and the resignation of high school principal Michelle Beyer most recently. She took a principal job in Juneau starting next school year. With that shift and declining enrollment, Superintendent Beyer presented the board with a plan to eliminate the high school principal position and create a dean of students for grades 6 through 12 instead. Also in transition is the elementary principal position, which will go to halftime next year, with the other part of the position focusing on the Haines District homeschool program. A dean of students would do many of the same duties as a principal, according to Beyer, but there are a few administrative tasks, like staff evaluations, that a dean cannot do. Also, Beyer said the district would be required to post a position to current staff first, and hopefully could hire from within the current teaching staff to ease the transition. The shift would also save the district between $40,000 and $45,000 in salary costs between the job shift to a dean and reducing the elementary principal duties to half-time. Board members also discussed that because of declining enrollment, the school may, within the next year or two, only need one principal for all grades. All six members of the board present voted in favor of the staff change. The superintendent position is still being advertised. The district has received 9 applications for the position in the second round of advertising. The board's 2 finalists for the job in the last round took jobs elsewhere. The board has tentatively scheduled candidate interviews and public receptions for May 8th and 9th, with a board meeting scheduled for May 13th. Richard Peterson of Kasan is the new president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. He takes over from Ed Thomas, president for 27 of the past 30 years. Peterson has served as vice president of the organization's executive council. He is also president of the tribal council for the organized village of Kasan on eastern Prince of Wales Island. He was elected and sworn in Friday during the Central Council's tribal assembly in Juneau. Peterson told delegates he will work with everyone he can.
I don't feel like I'm alone. I know that I have everybody holding me up. I know that I can accomplish what we need because I won't be I, it'll be we.
Delegates chose Peterson over 2 other candidates. Peterson was elected by an overwhelming majority on the first vote. The new president was praised by his opponents and his immediate predecessor in the job. Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand Camp President Bill Martin, who also served in the post, agreed.
Richard Peterson has worked hard for this position. He's an honest man and has the highest integrity. And those are the things we look for.
The Tlingit Haida Central Council began in 1935. The weather is getting nicer and seas are taking a break from the fierce winter gales. So it was a bright and calm day Sunday at the Haines Harbor for the Blessing of the Fleet. The annual event takes place normally on Palm Sunday before Easter. Leaders of several local churches gathered with dozens in attendance at the parking lot overlooking the harbor. Not only is it a blessing on the commercial, subsistence, sport, and recreational fleet at the harbor, but also a remembrance for locals who have died in the past year and for locals who have died at sea or in waters. After songs and readings, names of those gone and lost are read, and people file forward to drop their palms in a reed basket. After the service, the Haines Harbor Master takes the palms out to Lynn Canal to leave them at sea. Here's a few sounds from Sunday's service.
Today we gather to bless these boats, those who work on them, those who protect our country, those who protect our citizens, those who provide food from these waters, and those who use these waters for family and pleasure.
For the sounds of foghorns in the mist, harbor lights at night, communication between boats and those on shore, for the rattle of the winch and the song of the diesel, for laden nets and well-laden boats, for our labor and work, for the pleasures we enjoy on your oceans, for families, our good comrades and friends.
God bless these boats, their nets and lines, their tackle and gear, their captains and crews. Bless these boats in fair weather and in foul, in success and in disappointment, in rain and fog, in storm and sunshine. God bless these boats.
We ask God's protection when we are blind to the sea's mystery and forget it is God's handiwork, when we are ungrateful for fair winds, good weather, and the sea's plentiful harvest, Richard Boyce, Thomas Bears, Ron Bouchard, Archie Dunbar, Clarence Hotch, Buster Jimmy.
Bless these ships and these boats, the equipment and all who serve on them and who would use them. Protect them from the dangers of wind and rain and the perils of the deep. Bring us all to the harbor of light and peace. May the saving power of our Lord guide and protect us all. Amen.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.